We're going to spend 2 weeks together, and during the course of those 2 weeks, we're going to knuckle into very practical tools that can reshape how we are leading through what is ostensibly a crisis. And I think there's no question for most of our lives, we've never known such uncertain times. But the biggest uncertainty is the plague of consciousness that can poison our leadership to take full advantage of the opportunities that are endemic within this chaotic world in which each of us is living. And I know that on the class, there will be a very, very broad amount of people from all different walks of life and all different stages in career. I know we have people who run old school businesses, who are employed, who have jobs, who are unemployed, who are want to be leaders, aspiring spiritual leaders, who are in the mode of startup. And whatever you are, whoever you are, we're going to start with a very broad funnel and just literally narrow it down to some very critical reinvents that I think every single person in the world needs right now. And we'll start quite broad. So, for example, if you are running a business, and if you have a supply chain issue, if you are running a startup, and if you have a funding issue, there are so many questions that all of us have right now in the world of business, right? Whether it is from either side of the employment ladder. We're going to try and tackle them all, and I hope perhaps not relevant to every person will every point be, but definitely the point is that you knuckle into one point, and that is going to, I hope, be a very important pivot for you. If you look at some of the economic studies right now, certainly McKinsey is always an interesting one, I think, to look at. It is quite brimstone-ish. They do suggest that the shock factor of not dealing with the virus sensibly, globally, is going to be the biggest issue of the century. And the financial ripple, financially, economically, socially, is not really understood yet. In other words, it's not really touched the tip of the iceberg yet. If you look at the news, it looks quite grim. Certainly, if you're running a business, you know it looks pretty grim. Certainly, if you are or were employed or have been furloughed, you know it is pretty grim. The Kabbalists say, and clearly sensible mindset psychology suggests, that if you find that light in the tunnel, if you find the light in the tunnel, this can be a time of the hugest miracles, the hugest positive revelation. Because one of two things I think are going to happen to us. You're either now in the zone of waiter or creator. Waiter or creator. Meaning, if you're plagued by anxiety, evidenced by so much chaos, understandably, then you have become a waiter. And opportunities are rolling past your feet and you're not taking them, because creators create opportunities. Opportunities don't just happen. Opportunities are not given. They don't just happen. Creators create opportunities. And if you think about it, in the world where everything was great a few months ago, perhaps, when the sun was shining so strong, when the light was so evident, a candlelight was quite meaningless. And now, in the place of such darkness, the creation of an opportunity, a mere candlelight, is a revolution. And so right now, the game changer mentality of the creation of opportunity falls down to one singular root, which is consciousness. Your consciousness can create you to be a waiter an anxiety-driven, chaos-struck observer, or your consciousness can create you to be a creator. And if we go to the next slide, I think this will make more sense now. Nothing is more expensive than a missed opportunity. Right now, I promise you, in whatever industry you're in, whether you have questions and issues with staffing, supply chain, workflow, your career, your financial runway, which we'll talk about. If you're a startup, maybe even your entire value proposition has just gone south. It's just gone to zero. Whatever situation you're in, I want you to find one point from the three categories we're going to go through that can be a genuine leadership pivot for you, your career, and your success in life. So the three categories that we're going to go through tonight, if we can go to the next slide, are number one, we're going to start with what is a reinvent in the level of your business. We're going to talk about business issues, business things. And by the way, you might relate to this because you're a business owner, or because you aspire to be a business owner, or because right now you see an opportunity to become a business owner, or you just want to relate to how your business owners are handling your issue and walk a mile perhaps in their shoes. Number two, the second reinvent is going to be your people. Means as a business owner or just as a team member, how do we relate to teams? How do we relate to other people? Not just from the isolation of business strategy. How do we actually tactically connect to people now? There is a new world in which we have to interact in new ways. And three, most important, and of course, the seed of everything else is yourself. How can you, in a leadership way, reinvent yourself now to create, either with your teams, your business, your career, or your job, a real movement, a real shift, okay? So here we go. First world, the world of business, right? Let's go. Now, the world of business, first of all, let's look at the first point we're gonna talk about, tech. Now, what we're trying to do in business is we're gonna go through for you, either because this is pertinent to you, because it might be interesting to you, some clear pivots that you can, must be taking these days. And a digital transformation is clearly one of the most important. Digital transformations are really tough, okay? They're really tough. And again, examples of new procedures, new opportunities, new times, but we're gonna shift. A lot of you are gonna have to shift to how to live online, not just in the bridge point before people get back to normal. There is no getting back to normal. You're going to have to somehow reinvent what you do. Now, I give an example of this because I know that there is a very famous acupuncturist on the class. So how on earth can you digitally transform? You can't just, you know, send pictures of needles or perhaps show the customer where in their palm to stop their headaches. That's not going to happen. I give you one example. There's a famous story of a restaurant, and the restaurant obviously got hit in lockdown, and they started a very interesting thing. They started a virtual happy hour. It's an interesting idea. They also realized they had to kind of take advantage and import some tech and create a digital revolution. So they started a digital happy hour, and what happened was that grew, and that grew eventually into very, very pertinent and very warm social interactions. And those social interactions became expert invitations, because what they did was they invited experts into those social interactions to learn and teach individuals how to make best practice cocktails. And that grew even more. And then they actually started to dissect different brands of alcohol and what each brand is about and how to wine taste and how to discern between, you know, your Smirnoffs and your Vladivostoks and whatever. And so it became a very, very well not just attended, but very well publicized business. Now, you've got to monetize that clearly. However, the engagement was humongous. So even if you haven't got a business that needs some tech or some digital transformation, it is important that you brainstorm now how, because that's what we're all doing. How am I teaching you right now? I can't teach you in class. We've got to find some online platform to engage you. And by the way, it's not easy for us. We're used to, and certainly teachers are more expert in living in classes and feeling and breathing in the energy and the dynamic and the flow in classes. We can't do that right now. We have to adapt as well, right? So digital transformation is not cheap. It's not cheap. Statistically, about 1/4 of companies get it right. And by the way, those 1/4 of companies that get it right weren't the 1/4 that spent the most. The investment spend on getting digital tech right is often less than most companies do getting it very, very wrong. And the reason for that is, again, consciousness. Most people spending on equipment or spending on transformation do not take into account the mindset of the user. And so again, it roots down to conscious. If you're moving into some kind of tech area, you've got to take into account the mindset shift of your users, which is a whole other point. But that's the first point. I'm going to touch on all these points rather fast. Okay. Second point, again, in the tactical process of business, there is no question an anxiety in decision-making right now. And as a leader, you're gonna have to handle a tremendous amount more stress, pressure, and anxiety. And it's very important as a leader, you do not become a lone ranger. Lone rangers right now are suffering, I think. People that rely on their kind of C-suite, their execs, their expert pool, are not feeling the pulse of what's really going on out there and what's really going to jam and resonate with their old and new customers. You need diverse perspectives, and for that, you have to go to your teams. Your high paid experts, who might be politicians in Washington, are gonna be less valuable right now, potentially, than your generals or foot soldiers in your front line on the field. That corporal who's handling all of the enemy fire and the terrain to navigate is going to be your most valuable element right now. And so not just is it your most valuable element, but it's one of the most engaging things that you can do to extract their voice. And they need that. They want that. Every person in your team needs a voice, not direction. We don't need control freaks. We want empowering leaders who can make me feel a part. And being a part now is difficult because it's more online. So tap their creativity, tap their creativity, right? That's the strategic thought that goes on in all of your people's minds. I'm betting that the majority of that strategic thought is untapped, because who knows your business better than you? Who's more motivated than you? Actually, you'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. That's the second point, okay? I hope you're taking notes. We're going to move fast through these 4 points. Third point, which I think can relate to all of us, right? Can relate to all of us, whether you're an employer or an employee. You've got to figure out your cash position right now. Now, if you're an employer, clearly you have some very hard decisions on your hands right now, because you are invariably handling a dwindling cash reserve. Most people, I'm saying. So you've got to create what's called a financial runway. And that financial runway is basically charting your safety net in dwindling times. Now, you want to run some models and all sorts of forecasts about what if scenarios. For example, what if your revenues are cut by, you know, in the next 3 or 6 months, what are your revenue projections, honestly? In the next 1, 3, 6, 9, 12 months, what do you almost pessimistically imagine your revenue will become? What are your fundraising needs? In the next 1-2 years, assume that there will be zero fundraising. How can you reduce costs? Assume that you might have to cut 25, 50, 75% of your costs. Run those models and see how to maximize the cash runway you have, because you might be in a position where you have to choose between layoffs or bankruptcy. And you're going to have to make the hard decision of layoffs. And it might not sound spiritual, but if you're committed to the welfare of your people, they'll feel it, and hopefully it can return in a very short period. But you're going to have to maximize that cash runway, right? Again, where are all the revenue streams coming from? Where is any fundraising coming from? How do you cut your costs? And you're left with that 3, 6, 9, 12 month cash runway, which is your safety net, and you've got to know what that is before you're making many decisions on the back of that. Okay, I think that's clear as well. And the last point, the fourth point before we'll breathe, is time. How do you tactically run your business now? And how do you understand what time means to you? What I'm suggesting is that all of us should focus on the value of time right now, perhaps more than we have in recent years. Because I'm guessing, in the way that I know many businesses are run, processes can get rather complicated and bureaucratic and people-filled. And so each one of us is literally in the place where you want to max out on the value of your time. How do you deal with the unexpected? Every day is unexpected. Every day you're going to go through things that are really unexpected. How do you simplify that process? The process of all the actions that you probably take without even knowing it that run the course today, the process of your workflow, handling your workflow, the process of all the bureaucratic decisions that you're immersed with, the process of inefficient meetings, the general activities that you do all day, every day, that are just sucking up time. I'm sure most of us are aware of a quarter, if not more, perhaps three quarters of our week that is sucked up inefficiently by process, by chasing your tail, or by activities or meetings and discussions that are just a waste of time. Waste of time. Focus on the value of your time. Your time right now is mission critical. Anything that is not mission critical, dump, change, efficientize. I've made up that word. Make efficient. If it's not mission critical, it needs dumping or changing. Because again, the feedback I'm getting from many businesses, from employees and employers, is kind of two things. Either there's one type of company right now that's saying, just do the best you can, which is absolute codswallop. And the second one is, you know, we're in trouble. Double your sales numbers immediately, which also is just unrealistic. It's arbitrary numbers being thrown at a chaotic situation, unrealistic, by people that can't deliver. So we're talking about, if we can go back to that screen, we're talking about four descriptions of how to tactically reinvent your business. And of course, the way that you're going to remember how you're tactically going to reinvent your business is with the acronym of those four words: T-Tech, A-Anxious, C-Cash, T-Time, TACT. You have to become tactical in your business. Take 1 minute now, take 60 seconds, pretend that you're doing notes, perhaps zip off and get a little shot of whiskey or whatever you need, and think about of the TACT, your tactical business reinvent, from something we've said or something that your business mind is spinning right now. Please take 60 seconds and enjoy your tactical notes, journaling. Okie dokie. So the next category is going to be, how do you reinvent your people? And again, that might be because you run people, you manage people, you own people, you have a business of people. It might just be that you work with people, you're a team member in a big company that you don't even own. But people are asking the same questions as probably you are, and we need to start to resonate with them. Meaning, everyone's asking, will I be safe? Is my job at risk? How do I protect my family? Are we going to return to normal? And the answer to those questions that we're asking ourselves or our people are asking cannot be based on historical assumptions. Cannot be based on historical assumptions. We have to lock in a kind of new GPS that's going to rely upon the power of relationships to handle everything. Maybe some things, probably everything. Our need to understand the power of relationships right now has never been more critical. When you're next to someone, the idea of handling a relationship is kind of taken for granted because you're just next to them, and then your soul thinks because there's proximity, there's spiritual affinity. But that's not true. Real relationship is affinity. So the first step in understanding that GPS of how to leverage the power of relationships, and again, I'm going to say GPS a few times because I think you know where this is going. The G is grow. If you want a GPS of how to handle your team, or how to handle the people you wrote, we have to understand that this is new for all of us. We're in this together. We're human. We're intended to grow. We're human. We're human. We are the one intention that the light wants of us is to grow. And we have to somehow loosen up our people to become more successful. We haven't got the answers, but the idea of growth has to somehow configure into everything we're doing. It is not that old people should do old tricks to create old results. And therefore, we haven't got to be as polite or as engaged in the relationship. It's just directive leadership. You know what you're doing, you're paid for what you do, just do it. That's over. I mean, we're not even talking about there being a temporary survival right now. It is over. If you ask astrologers in the center, this time that we're in is only a preparatory window for what's coming. And I listened, I remember to Ruthie Nachmias's astrology lecture on the new moon of Aries, which blew my mind. And it will be online if you want to see it. One of the things that she said is the power of the people. And there's a whole explanation behind it, which she'll give much better to what I give. But as a kind of Capricorn system, the system of wealth, the system of royalty, the system of creation, the system of banking, the system of money, the system of network, of hierarchy, is gone. It's not coming back in the way that we knew it. The power of the people. Flatter, empowered leadership circles are replacing vertical hierarchies of old. We have to grow. We're intended to grow. We need to understand that. And when we embody that by osmosis, our people will also get it, but we can also, of course, reiterate it verbally, but hopefully through our actions. The first point, growing. Now, second point. GPS, P, prioritizing. What are we prioritizing? We're prioritizing that when we interact with our teams, we are encouraging them to make their loved ones their priority. And this is tough because when things are down, when chaos strikes, our survival mentality stresses urgency, desperation, dire need, immediate execution. And that is actually going to cause chaos in chaos. If you can just restrict and pause, and with all the panic or the fear that we might have, or the desire to become a leader, a greater and greater leader, prioritize the love and the care for what each one of those team members should be prioritizing at home. Because there's no question, the chaos that every one of your team or your teammates is experiencing at home is number one, crazy, and number two, probably different every day. I can tell you, my household is potty, absolutely potty. And I'm spiritual, or I thought I was. And it's crazy. You got homeschooling, you got two teachers trying to do work, you got, you know, a Manhattan closet to live out of, and it's nuts. The second someone comes into my house through a work meeting online and says, dump the work for a second. How are you doing? How is homeschooling going? How do you even handle that? And I can just dump some frustration and we can laugh at it for a second. I am recharged and I am re-engaged faster. We have to do the same to others, okay? The P, GPS, P, is prioritize their loved ones. Now, third point is state of mind. Running team meetings, which invariably is going to be more digital now, more online, more phone, Zoom, FaceTime, whatever, keep your people's state of mind at the forefront of every single meeting. Because their consciousness, as we said, is shifting daily. You cannot start a meeting with business as usual. You can't. You're losing people. You don't even know it maybe, but you're losing people if you're thinking and starting business as usual. You've got to give them permission to air, freedom to air, check in with their personal lives. You've got to be one with their emotions. They are in, as we are all in, a world of their own emotions. So if you want to emotionally engage the person, which is what's going to create a real financial outcome right now, an emotional engagement, not just a direction of task mastering. Emotionally engage them. Emotionally engage them. That's the key now. Keep their state of mind at the forefront of every single meeting, every single call. That's going to emotionally engage them. So again, we'll give you 30 seconds, 60 seconds to write down some thoughts, write down some notes. And ask yourself, you know, why is it maybe that you feel, hopefully that you feel, that Kabbalah and the center have answers right now? Why is it that you even engaged with a teacher at all? Because you probably felt that your teacher or the center or just the creator believed in you. You probably felt that a teacher or the light saw a version of you greater than you're seeing right now. Well, flip it to your people. You hired them. You must have seen something to believe in. So give them the benefit of the doubt right now, right? The world needs heroes right now. We don't need control freaks. We don't need desperate leaders driving outcomes that are more about their fear than our truths, or even the business's reality. We need heroes. We need people who are real leaders. I think that's all of us. If you're on the call, it means it is you. No question. So take 30, 60 seconds now and write down one thought, one actionable point that you think relates to you. Okay, I'll come back in 30, 60 seconds. Okie dokie. We are 2/3 of the way there. Okay, that's your GPS. I hope you get that. The GPS of reinventing others, and the tactical reinvent a business. Notice the acronyms. Obviously, I don't want to patronize you, but that's how we are teaching this tonight. Okay, so third category is how you're going to reinvent yourself, which clearly is a significantly important route to all the others. You reinvent your business, you reinvent your team, your people, you've got to reinvent yourself. And I think it's significant, not just because it's obvious. I think it's significant because if you're doing the work with your business or your workplace as an employer or employee and your teammates, I think if you're doing that real emotional work with your team, it can become draining. I mean, it can become exhausting. It is a different muscle that you're exercising now in leadership than ever before. It's a different market, demanding different skill sets, creating different outcomes, needing different internal pivots. So how to not be drained and exhausted by that? How to become a phenomenal leader? And I'm telling you, we spoke about this in my Kabbalah 3 last night. Whereas in Ruthie Nachmias's Capricorn labeled previous cycle of life, you really had to be a significantly wealthy, connected, networked, positioned individual to hold true power. You are not going to have to be now. The leadership of tomorrow, which is forever, is a leadership of people, not a position. People matter now. As we're seeing around the world, people are going to dictate policy, not positionals. And so this is so important that you really have certainty in a new world. You can become a tremendously significant player and leader. And you might think, but you have very little resource to do that. And it means nothing now. Resource was leadership of the past that really post-war built the wealth creation and the societal creation that we see now. Of course, it's flawed, and we know that. Now steps in consciousness, people, truths. I want you to be able to see yourself as a leader of people, as a leader of the masses, as leader of millions of people, as able to inspire people in small formats. My God, I mean, some teenage kid on TikTok is now one of the biggest influencers in the world, right? Greta Thunberg, I think just out of school clothes, is more powerful than most politicians. If you look at in fact, one of my fascinations recently has been studying what Gen Z is. Gen Z is the new generation post-millennial. Millennial is a passé now. Gen Z are kind of 8 to 23-year-olds. And it's fascinating looking at their architecture, their mental architecture. They are not into Instagram, which is so curated and so contrived. They want real truths. They want actual, real-life, values-based existence. And it's going to work for us because they are shunning the falsehood of society, and they are bringing out, without that much ego, raw truths. And it's going to be fantastic. But I'm saying that you can be a 16-year-old just out of school and be the biggest influence in the world. Any one of us. Hopefully every one of us. So let's go through how much of a sin it would be if we are not living our lives as the leaders that we are supposed to be. And if you come into the center, it means that you're supposed to be. There's no way that your mind could click into the center's resonance and not be a world leader of your world, perhaps the world, but definitely of your world, which is significant, I promise you. So let's look at how much of a sin it would be not to be a real leader. S, please, the S for sin. Survival emotions. Each one of us is on a survival emotion. And we are having to meet and greet everyone else, which means those who are influenced by our influencing, those who are employed by our businesses, or just those who interact with us. We have to meet and greet people in that survival emotion vibration. They're feeling it, we're feeling it. We have to be willing to show compassion, to show understanding, to figure it out. We, right? The Rav, I remember one of the conversations that years ago, the Rav, Marcus, one heart feels another. One heart feels another. This is our leadership trait. Now, you can be the cleverest, smartest, most networked leader out there and fall flat on your feet right now. The person who is showing somehow the survival emotion can become the leadership hero to millions. And if not by quantity, then by virtue and quality. So that's the first concept, survival emotion. Second, impact. Now, no one really knows how long this whole chaos is going to last and what the nature of the chaos will be or morph into, right? We don't know what the ripple is going to be, and we're not quite sure how serious that ripple is going to be, economically, financially, and socially. We want to impact. We're not sure what the environment is now to impact. We want to impact. We want to have big impact. Probably most of you on this call want to change the world. You resonate with the center because you want to change the world. The Rav, the Kabbalist, the 4,000 years, change the world. These are the tools how we get that. Let me share one idea with you. If you want real impact, if you want real impact, start with your close quarters. Translate your desire to change the world and create a business and a movement with other people that can revolutionize the opportunity right now and leverage the opportunity. The personal pivot is not that. The personal pivot is this. The personal pivot is close quarters. Let's get small. Let's get small. Let's focus on small things, local things, real things. Let's reinvent the small things within us. Much more important than the small things outside of us. Let's be kind to others. Let's be kind to ourselves. Maybe that's the smallest thing that we can reinvent. When you're kind to yourself, the emotional signature you have in leadership resonates infinitely further than if you're just a really smart leader. What emotional signature of kindness are you putting out there? So that's the I of impact, okay? One idea. And the N of the sin that it would be not to become the leader that we're supposed to be in these times. Again, it's a sin. I hate that word. It's so religious, but it, hey, it has dramatic effect, I guess. The Rav didn't like that word either. But we understand spiritually has a very powerful transfer of energy too. The root of the word, but that to one side, it would be a sin for us not in these dark times to create candlelights and revolutionize ourselves, others, our businesses, our leadership, and the world. But there's an expression that says, necessity is the mother of invention. And there has never been a more necessary time to mother invention. And you might not think that you got the time or the resource or the space or the mindset to reinvent. And I would say that's rubbish. That's ego. It's not true. Rav Ashlag talks about what can twist what yesterday was unnecessary into today becoming necessary. the universe has twisted all of our unnecessary leadership yesterday to become necessary today. We didn't have to do half the things that we're doing right now. We didn't. For the last 10 years, we've lived in a world of complacency where we did not have to do the things that we could have done. And now we have to. And we will. But you got to recognize that the pain of the change that you're making right now is nothing compared to the invisible pain that our soul has maybe felt for the last 10 years in us not doing that change. Whatever pain we feel, whatever pain we're going through based on business or team or job, that's gouging out an evolution of self, was felt a millionfold by our fold consistently, by our soul, consistently for the last 10 years, 20 years, perhaps more. And so it would be a sin not to leverage that opportunity right now. So again, I give you 30 seconds just to write down your thoughts on the SIN acronym of sin, and then we'll close out the session together. Okay? Take 30 seconds, guys. Thank you, everyone. Thank you for giving us your time. I know sometimes these evenings are not always easy because of your very chaotic home lives. But whether you're watching live or whether you stream it after, I can't stress, number one, how opportunistic this moment is for everyone. And number two, from all of your teachers and the center, how grateful we are to you for doing this work. Because there exists this space, this kind of cosmic opening where the entire world can change. And there's no question, as the Rav used to painfully say, I can't do this by myself. And so for everyone taking the time to do this work, especially in this time, to really think about reinvention, how to reinvent yourself and your business and your world and your life and each other, I can tell you, in all of the conversations with all the teachers and all the hevra around the world, we are so grateful to have you with us. We're so grateful to you and the work that we do. And that is so exciting. So ask away whatever you want and don't feel shy, right? This isn't England. Hopefully this is New York desire. And next week, we'll put all of this theory into action. My love to everyone. Thank you for coming.